Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Conscious Thought with Leo on PBS radio talk show. And I'm your host, Magdalena Winkler. Well, thank you very much for everybody for tuning in. Sorry for a little inconvenience. We had a little hiccups here with our Skype connection. But what we have our lovely Sonia Barrett here, who will be my guest tonight. So, Sonia, thank you so much for being on the show. Good evening. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
You were welcome. And look, like I said, I'm so sorry for this little hiccup, but we will have an absolutely amazing show.
That's okay. I was a radio host for a long time, so.
So you know what's how it is going on.
I'm fine. Yeah.
Well, Sonia, thank you so much. And for our listeners who do not know about you, Sonia is coming actually from Spirit in Form, which is actually her website also. And I have to say, Sonia, the more I'm reading about you, I'm so fascinated. So I decided we will kind of go today on the cutting edge of the inside. And I realized that you are actually an ultimate game changer. So, and when I read, it's like you are author. You wrote the book, The Holographic Canvas, published in 2008. And your second book is A Journey of Possibilities, which was published 2014. And what is amazing to me that you actually are executive a producer of the documentary film, The Business of the Disease. That is fascinating because I'm in health and wellness myself for over 20 years. And I just watched that piece and it's just amazing. So what I would like you today to kind of, bring to our listener here, we are all going through this incredible changes and transformation, and everybody is using the buzzword consciousness. But in reality, a lot of people do not understand in the depth what it's really about. So what I would like you to do, kind of dig in and just kind of show us the way.
Okay, so you want me to, I didn't hear the last part of it. Of consciousness, I heard that part.
Yeah, we are going through this incredible changes, but what is really happening, Sonia, what I'm recognizing that a lot of people do not understand in depth what it's really about.
Okay, you're talking the changes?
Changes, transformation, and, what this all means to individuals.
Okay, let's see.
Let's start with your own story.
Let's see. I know. I get on to do the show, and then sometimes I have to get my mind in that space. But
I know. Listen, yeah. I did so many questions, but I said no.
Son
let's
always
go.
Said, just put a quarter in her and wind her up.
there
are. Always, I guess, changes going on, I'd say, in our world, in our environment. And I think what people are probably feeling or hearing about is for the last, 20 years, maybe more intensely so now, is that there are changes going on in our world on a, not just on, the physical level, but on a spiritual level. And I think maybe people are probably exposed to hearing that, and maybe for some people they're not quite sure what that means. Now, I tend to come at pretty much everything from a whole different standpoint, so I hope that I come across and don't confuse your audience, but
no, Sonia, I loved about that about you. This is why I wanted you to be here, because that's exactly what I'm looking for. And you know what, BBS, we are on the edge. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, well, I'm not really big on, a lot of I call woo-woo and fluffy stuff. I like to just sort of look at things, get to the heart of it, and just be true and real with myself. And that's something that I emphasize with with everybody in people asking me about the changes that are occurring, I say that one of the first things that we should all do, we all must stop and look at ourselves. I think that it begins there. Regardless of how it appears that things are going on externally, because we're so programmed to look outside of ourselves. That's why people get so confused or lost or scared, because so much is about looking outside of us. And the reality is that even if there are things going on out there and changes that we might not understand, if we can come back to ourselves and really examine what we believe deep down, because our belief systems determine everything, our perception determines everything, and our belief system and our perception work hand in hand. And that can be anywhere from what your religious beliefs are. What are your own authentic beliefs? What are the beliefs that have been planted there by someone else that you know we've all just sort of taken on as a truth without really examining any of this information more deeply? So I say the individual stops and really examine, what is your foundation? What am I standing on? And the only way you can examine what your foundation is about is to really look at what you actually believe right now, how you feel about your own self. And that includes everything in your life. You know, I always say the job you're working, your family situation, your romantic situation, your friends, all of that. Because we really sort of tend to cover over and maybe not intentionally, but sort of lie to ourselves about how we really feel, whether it be from being happy or with a situation or your job or anything or not. And I think for me, what I look at is ultimately the truth of how we feel and what we are is going to make a huge impact on our health and in the choices that we make. The clearer we are, right? And clarity really mm-hmm. comes from shedding and peeling away our mask spoke about, and getting more to an authentic self, a freeing oneself. When clearer we are, is the more our ability is heightened and to hear that internal guidance, expansive part of yourself that's really always there, trying to help you to navigate, but we're not listening because we're so what? Outwardly directed. We're so external. Mm-hmm. So you see then why I'm saying how important it is to be able to really come back to oneself and see, what your belief systems are, not just what somebody has given to you from childhood on, or what you just picked up from someone else, but what do I really feel about any of it, all of it? And from that place, again, you shed more, you're peeling away, and you're really hearing that voice. Like a mother or parents, we tend to know if there's something wrong with our children, whether they're a million miles away from us, we tune in. So that alone, or even somebody close to us, that alone should let us know that we have this incredible connection, like this incredible internet that we're all mm-hmm. really connected into, and as well as that part of us that is way more expansive than this physical part of us that's really observing life and allowing us to have our experiences. That's what we need to tune into, because that is what is going to guide and direct us, and that is where our evolution in consciousness is really coming from. Not necessarily outside, but it's what comes as a knowing to you. When we tune in like that and we start tuning into that part of ourselves, what we find is what we now begin to understand is a knowing. And so you mm-hmm. don't doubt it. It's a knowing. It's not just pre-recorded information, just memorized information. So many people can quote books and quote this that they've learned because they've studied metaphysics for years. To me, it doesn't matter to me. That is not, it doesn't impress me one way or another. What I know.
I like that piece I was reading about, I was listening about. That was very interesting.
Yeah, it is knowing. It is that knowing that really, that's what we're riding on, because you know, and you know, you don't have to wonder whether you should believe this or not believe it. You only wonder about it because it's not, you haven't given birth to that. You have to give birth to information, to your truth, to your own evolution. Nobody can do it for you. So with that kind of clarity, this is what comes. Just to say one other thing really quickly, and this is why people fear change, fear that kind of change. And the reason we do that is because to get that clear, it means you've got to what? You've got to start digging more deeply into yourself and being honest with yourself about all aspects of your life. Now,
and also you have to feel yourself.
Exactly. And that kind of honesty could what? Trigger change.
It's painful.
And people are afraid of change.
It's painful for a lot of people.
Exactly, because change means the unknown. Change could mean, you know, your job is going to change or your relationship is going to change. And it is scary. So you find that people, even though they're unhappy, they would almost rather stay in that situation because it is the known. They know they're going to be unhappy. They know what to expect.
The whole structure can actually collapse around them.
Oh, yeah. You know, yeah, people, yeah, it's scary because everything can just fall, you know, seem to fall apart. But what we have to remember is that it is just like a building, you know, is getting demolished so that a new structure can be built on it. Now, when we are in touch with that expansive part of us, that's, we start trusting it, and we know that no matter what is going on, no matter how it looks, no matter how it looks like we're going to fall, that part of us always has our back. Now, that is a tough thing because most of us, for all of us, me included, it is very challenging getting to that space, that kind of trust, because I'm not talking about just trust in, you know, something that you have no idea what you're trusting in, but I'm saying you're trusting in that more expansive part of you because you know it, you can feel it, that there is something more expansive that you are. You are something much bigger than your body. And so you start trusting that part of yourself, and that is going to guide and direct you in terms of what, you know, what you need to do. But letting go and just, you know, swimming or falling backwards, knowing there's a net there, it's a tough one. So it just depends on, you know, what the level of journey is that we want to go on. I don't believe in people feeling guilty or, you know, about what they're able to do or not do. I think that you just own that this is how I feel right now. I don't know if I want to do that right now and be okay. I don't think we should be coerced by anybody else or use anybody else as a barometer to measure, you know, the choices that we're making. Because you have to make choices that are going to be in alignment with you, that's going to work for you. Because if you don't, and you try to do something else based on someone else, the results may be different than the other person. Then you find yourself in, you know, more hot water, as they say.
Yes.
So it's really important that we just be true about what we're feeling, and that the truth, just being true, starts to chip away at the fear. It starts chipping away at the fear because you're owning the fact that that's how you feel. And again, that's what I mean when I say you have to just be truthful with yourself. Just own all of it. No guilt. No regret. Just being right now in that moment. This is how I feel. And then allow yourself to see why you feel that way. And then the fear, you'll get to see what you're afraid of.
Absolutely. But also, you know, Sonia, in the beginning, when we are starting our journey, you know, we are so entangled in the collective consciousness or in the collective group that, you know, we are relying of the that other people should approve for us. Well, is this good or is this bad or whatever, until we kind of start to trust for our own decisions. And that's what we are also talking. It's very scary.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. yeah, there is definitely something to be said about being newly awakened, you know, on the journey, being newly awakened. And I do feel for many people, because they're discovering in themselves, they're feeling like, you know what, I feel sort of driven, but I'm not sure what direction to turn in. Mm-hmm. And there's so many people out there now. There's so many different pieces of truth being handed to people that, and I hear this from others, that it becomes very confusing for them. And that's when I say, you stop. Don't run with the crowd. Don't run with the crowd. Collective consciousness is sort of programmed with this Borg-like mind, this Borg-like mentality, where, you know, we all sort of want to fit in. We all sort of want to be, to some degree, the sameness. And that's when you do have to stop, and you have to reassess, you know, how you feel about.
Well, there's a huge social pressure included with that.
Oh yeah, there's huge social pressure about, geez, about everything. Mm-hmm. Just about everything. And yeah, and people are. So really programmed to choose to be part of different kinds of group. I always say, people say, well, you know, who's your doctor? Who's your provider? Who's your insurance provider? Who's your, you know, do you have a lawyer? You know, it's like, what's your religion? I feel like, you know, we are sort of programmed to be assigned to, you know, these various things. You have to have it, otherwise you are labeled irresponsible or, you know, not an upstanding citizen, or you're not a good person or good enough person. So there are all these labels. And the other thing I like to point out is the fact that, you know, we are also programmed to identify and categorize people, mm-hmm. and that's how the collective is. You have to be part of the, you know,
something,
one or the other category, right? If you're a doctor, if you're a lawyer, then you know, people, oh, you're a doctor, you're a lawyer, oh, you're, you know, so then you're put in this one category. So because of that, people tend to ask, oh, well, what do you do? It's like immediate, well, you know, what do you do? Because it's so subtle, but when you go, well, what do you do? Immediately, people want to put you, they want to know where to file you. If they don't know what you do, they almost don't know what to do with you. They don't know where to place you. Are you, you know, in the upper crust? Are you in the middle? You know, where are you? So we tend to hear that from people. Well, what do you do? And then suddenly, you know, that for some people could determine, it determines, you know, whether you're on the lower rung or the higher rung in somebody's mind. But that's the programming is subtle, and sometimes we don't need to do that, but that's how deep that kind of programming is. Everybody wants to belong, and everybody wants to, nobody wants to be on that bottom rung. Nobody wants to be that group of people that, you know, that aren't looked at as, you know,
somebody. Whatever category, yes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So so that's, a, you know, so those basic, they sound like silliness, but you know what? But it, even though it sounds silly, it is really huge, because it runs through everybody. And if we say that it doesn't, we are lying, because you will catch yourself even evaluating or judging somebody ever so slightly based on how they look. You see them on the street, you're gonna immediately, there's some kind of judgment there. They're, you know, what the shoes they're wearing, or if their clothes don't look exactly, you know, new or whatever. So I say all those things to say how subtle these programs are.
Absolutely, absolutely. I was actually in the beginning also trying to add to what you were saying is that, you know, there are so many information today outside, and a lot of them are just superficial. And what I'm recognizing many times that some people may have an incredible message, but they do not have the capacity to bring down to people so that people can understand it. So, you know, they do not know how to bridge from where the person is and how they can use for the transformation. And that is something what we are missing today so much. At least that's what I'm seeing that is missed in general, because people are just not capable. They are not capable to grasp what it's about. And I think a lot of them are missing about that and talking about the judgment. Even I'm recognizing in our spiritual communities or, you know, personal growth or whatever you want to call them, they're judging too. Well, I don't want to be around the negative people. I don't want to be around this and that. Well, oh my God, it just looks like you're kidding me.
Yeah, that's true. Well, everything becomes very clicky. You know, it's all these different clicks, you know, that's why I talk about that. But, you know, it's one click or the other. It goes from a click of, you know, you're vegetarian to a click of raw food to a click of the spiritual people, you know, one is, you know, more spiritual than the other, or a click of just positive namaste, peace and love and light people. I mean, it's all these different categories that it's funny, but it's not in a way, but it is absolutely hysterical because there's much.
I love to talk about it. I read this this piece of article, when being spiritual becomes tiring. I watched your video and it's so awesome. I have to give you credit for that. It is actually refreshing that somebody kind of has the guts to say what it is, because it becomes tiring constantly to be so perfect in whatever category.
Oh, yeah. It's just too much. And because of that, it forces all these people to wear a mask, because you don't want to, they don't want to not say light and love and peace.
You know? Exactly.
They don't want to not say namaste. They don't want to not, you know, because then they're not being positive. So then it just, to me, it just creates more of these layers, you know, that actually may lock the person in more. But at the same time, on the flip side, you know, everybody is taking this journey and doing exactly what they need to do. So this is what becomes so funny. It's such a paradox. It is such a paradox.
Yes. You know, to me, it was so actually interesting. I mean, I was born in Europe. So when I came here, I mean, in Europe, I mean, we are much more open-minded. Not, I will not say open-minded, but whatever you have on your heart, you just say it, you know.
Right.
And when I recognized here, and I read so much about, and when I was, you know, in this health and wellness myself, you recognize people are afraid to be angry. People are afraid to say what they truly feel. And it's just like, wow, this is amazing.
I know. It's funny, though, and that's true. And that's why, you know, I get all these emails from people. They're always saying, you know, they're like, oh, my God, that's so refreshing. You just say, you know, you just go ahead and say it. And for me, I'm just thinking, you know, well, who cares? If, you know, that's how I feel, you know. So I say what I say, not with any intent behind it, you know, to come at anybody. I just feel that this is how I feel and this is what I'm going to say because this is how I feel. That's clearly it. And to me, it is real simple and cut and dry. That's how I feel. Now, for some people, they're going to think, oh, my God, but then if I say it, you know, what if people come at me, or what if they don't like me, or what if I'm not going to get called for, you know, an interview on a certain radio show, or, you know, what if I'm not going to be part of that cliquey spiritual community. And personally, I just don't care.
Exactly. But you know what? As I'm kind of listening to our conversation, I am recognizing this is actually maybe the number one obstacle, you know, for people not being themselves, not being truly who they are. You know,
yeah.
Just be who you are. Doesn't matter who or what.
Well, I think there's people are afraid that it's going to leave them out, or they're not going to be liked, or you know, because that's again, it's the sort of that hive mentality, it's that Borg mentality that we tend to have. Is we need to belong. That's why groups are so big. That's why groups work so well, because people need to belong to some sort of
something.
Group. I've heard people say, well, you know, I don't really do, you know, the church thing. I'm not really into the religious stuff, but I go for the fellowship. Now, if I am no longer into any of that religious stuff at all, I can't go. I'm not even going to go in the church because it's not going to do anything for me. But people need to belong. It's just, you know, it's just kind of the way that it is. And there's nothing right or wrong about wanting to be part of some sort of community, but we shouldn't let that become our crutch to existing. Like, we can't exist or function, whether it be spiritually or otherwise, unless we have a group to support us. My thing is also with groups. If you're going to be a part of a group, to me, the most awesome group, in my opinion, is one where everybody is already, they're individually whole. Even if you don't have, you know, a lot of information, so other people in the group could have way more information than you do, or a deeper understanding. But still, the group is not based on superiority. It's not based on any of that. It's based on the fact that we are all equal beings. One may know a bit more, have come to a greater awareness than the other, but not less than the other. And you come to that, and to me, strength, a group is strengthened by the fact that each person in that group is individually strong already. To me, those are profound groups, not where it's a group where we just all have to lean on each other. That is the programming. That's what we're kind of taught, is that we can't be a whole brain unless we're part of a group. Then that makes us a whole brain. And same thing with relationships. You know, we want this other person to complete you. No, I don't. I want my mate to I want to partner, and I want you to be whole and strong and confident in who you are, and I feel the same way too. And then together, we're just like a force to be reckoned with, because I'm not sucking energy from you, you know, putting pressure on you to make sure that you're making me totally happy. All my happiness depends on you. That kind of programming is very, very common. And so they get, you know, people get upset with each other, especially in relationships. But individually whole is really important. I just think it's so key. That's a powerful relationship then, whether it be just two people or a group of dynamic people coming together, because they can leave and go do their thing without feeling like, oh my God, without the group, I can't function.
Yeah, this is amazing. You know, I mean, look, like I said to you, as when I was watching your videos, you know, that, you know, being by yourself, not needed to be dependent on the relationship, or the other person should not, fulfill what you needs. So that was very amazing. But also what I was deeply thinking about, Not to go on this journey by ourselves, not through the group. And you know what I came up with this whole thing, Sonia, that, you know, they're talking about we are going in the age of Aquarius. And the age of Aquarius should be, you know, groups and people and, you know, communities. And what I actually came to understand is actually opposite, that we have to become first an individual, very strong who we are, and find ourselves. And then from there on, we can look like you were just talking about, you know, being in the group as a complete individual.
That's absolutely. And that is not what is pushed. Every angle.
We are pushed the opposite. Thank you. This is what became very clear to me when I was listening to you. I said, oh, my God, yes.
That's, yeah, they're pushed. I mean, and it's like pretty much any and everybody, all the New Age stuff, everybody is, they've taken the concept of we are one and subtly turned it into this whole other thing of a oneness that is more of a dependency oneness, like a I don't know if you remember on Star Trek, but like a group mind that has to think together. We can't, you know, we need everybody to evolve, I mean, everybody to be sort of the same understanding in order for us to evolve together. We need the whole, you know, planet. I mean, so there's all these subtle, programming that really can take the individual away from authenticity, from being whole, from recognizing that on your own as an individual, you do represent the whole. On the back of my book, The Holographic Canvas, it says like the single cell of a plant, the entire history of that plant is embedded in that single cell. And so it is with all of us. Individually, even though we look like individuals, we actually represent the whole. We actually represent the whole. And it is part of a very progressive part of this journey as human beings to have individual expression. That is the reason why whatever we want to call creation or that divine creative force, through all these individual and unique experiences, that one essence does get to experience the diversity of all that it can be or all that we can be because we are it. I hope that makes sense. But when we start taking away the individual's ability to expand and to grow and to go through incredible evolutions without the idea of I can't do this unless I am part of the group, we must evolve together. That takes away. There's something that happens there, and it does take something, away. But again, that is also another option in this incredible paradox of a game. So
this is why I love that when you call this, it's a universal game, and that how we are actually operating from a different type of programs. Very interesting, Sonia.
Yeah,
when you are talking about general metrics and then the system programs and the universal matrix, very, very, very interesting. But see, this is what I am talking about. When the individuals are not familiar with this depth of knowledge or information, they do not know how to grasp actually where to throw the lifesaver.
They stay away from it. Actually, some people will shut down. Some people just literally. It's like, I don't know what she's talking about. That's basically what could happen. It's like people go, I don't understand what she's talking about. It's like forcing the information could be forcing to go past her program, and that individual is not ready to release her programs, because if they were to release those programs, it would mean that they would have to what? They would have to see themselves. They would have to see the truth about many things about themselves and their life, the things that would need to be lifted, veils that would need to be lifted. And unconsciously, this is not a conscious thing most times, but unconsciously, they don't realize that it's because they don't want to go there. They don't want to go that deeply. They don't want to tap in that deeply. And so hearing light, fluffy, bedtime, you know, story kinds of things, it does. That's what I call it. It works for them. Everybody just wants to go to the city of lights, or that, you know, we're all, you know, going through the ascension, and we're all gaining weight because of the ascension. And yet they love all that stuff. And I've been told that, you know, my stuff is just too in your face because, well, it doesn't come with any of that sugar stuff on it. Because other people are providing that. And so if that's what somebody needs, then there's always somebody there to provide that. I am coming at this, and I share according to the evolution I'm taking myself through. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. I am only sharing according to the fact that I have said I don't want fluffy stuff. I want to see, I want to understand, I want to remember, and I don't want it sugar coated. I want to see because I want to go the distance, and the distance, it doesn't end. I want to see all that is possible, and that's all that we live in. We live in an ocean of potential, so there is no limit to what is possible, and so everybody is really experiencing a possibility of what reality could be. And that's why it becomes, again, this incredible paradox. Everybody is experiencing one of those potentials. And if you're ready, if this is what you want to do, okay, you know what? I don't want all that fluff on it. And then what Sonia is saying makes sense because there's no sugar coating on it. It's like, boom, this is what I'm feeling. I get it. I'm understanding that.
Well, Sonia, this is because of the transformation becomes personal.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And I went at this by myself, as you know. I mean, I didn't have groups or anything, and I think it wasn't necessarily because I said I didn't want any of that. I didn't even know any such things existed. I didn't even know what metaphysics was. I really had no knowledge of any of that in that sense, and so I did go at it on
my
own.
Because you were going into such a depth, Sonia, that, you know, when you're searching for deep stuff, there's not much. You really have to kind of go deep or in specific places to find actually this kind of information.
Mm-hmm. And you find that everybody has access to everything, because why? Everything, I'm constantly saying this, science is saying it, everything is made up of information. Every single thing is made up of information. The chairs, the sky, everything. It takes information. It takes a stream of data to determine what that code is or that formula is. For a chair to be a chair, and for the sky to be the sky, and for my body to, you know, the human body to be a body, it's streams of information strung together. It's streams of data, all kinds of codes, and so we have access to everything because everything is us, and we are everything. So we really do have access to memory. Now you're not going to get all of it at once. That's not the idea. The idea is to continue.
What
to
you
expand.
Need.
Yeah, exactly, according to where you are. You just keep evolving into yourself. I like saying it that way, too. You're just expanding into yourself, into greater aspects of who you are.
Well, Sonia, as I was listening to one of your videos, I have to give you a feedback. I was fascinated because, as I said to you, you know, I was born in Europe and I speak four different languages, and I know how words in one language have a different meaning than another one. And as I was listening to one of your videos, you were using the word engineering the frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
And it just made
you said engineering. I used the word engineering. You said and frequencies.
Yes. And I was always, using this stuff, programming, programming, programming. And when I heard the way you put it, the sentence, engineering the frequencies, I said, oh my God, all of a sudden this whole different world opened up for me. Because the meaning, the meaning from programming to engineering, it gave me a totally different meaning.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, it's amazing all those words. Yeah, I do use different words at times. I'll say engineering. I think I've used, art, like an architect designing, a map or a plan. It's just so many different ways that you can look at it. But guess what? They are all very relevant. They're all very, very relevant when you're looking at it, like the word engineering. You engineer. We're engineered, and I use the word technology for some people that could throw them off. I think people are getting more comfortable with that, but we start looking at even computer language, and you start bringing it all together. And I think the reason why sometimes people get a little off, put off certain people by some of these terms is because we are so afraid that we are not, it's going to turn out that we are not what we thought we were as human beings.
Listen, I learned that what I thought is true today morning, by tonight it may not be the truth anymore. So, sorry.
Forever evolving, truth is forever expanding. But that's what it is. It's like people get very nervous. I remember recently there was a post on Facebook. Somebody referenced, had referred to me, and it was a scientist, a physicist, I think, that was talking about, oh, I think the virtual nature of reality or something. And he said, after you read this, you got to look at Sonia Barrett's work. And then it was shared on another group, and two people got on there and said, this is just effing ridiculous. No such thing as virtual reality. And somebody else chimed in on, on how just preposterous that whole idea is.
Good luck.
I'd say, well, okay. So I never, of course, I didn't respond to that because I just don't debate with people. I'll have a dialogue, but I'm not here to convince you of anything because where
Exactly.
you are is where you are, and I acknowledge that. Now we're talking and we're dialoguing and we're sharing. That's a different thing, but I'm not going to try to convince you of anything. You can't.
Exactly. But it depends where you are, and it depends, your processing, your journey, and then the perception. It's impossible, definitely. Sonia, we have maybe around 12, 30 minutes. What I really want you to do is, I know that you are doing things a retreat. Do you want to talk about that? Or
Yes,
do you
I'm
want
doing
to do, talk about your books, or feel free to
yeah,
continue?
either one. Yeah, I'm doing a retreat in I was going to say Ojai, that was last year, in Mount Shasta, called the Emerging Master, and it's probably easier for people to go on the site and look and see whatever details I put. Sometimes I don't put a massive amount of details. I put just as much as I know at the time. I'm not going to put things just to hype you up. I'm not going to promise to change your DNA or any of that.
Okay.
I'm going to promise you ascension in 7 steps. So, but the retreat is in August of this year, and all I can say to you is it's our retreats and workshops are just incredible, and it's because of the people that show up. This is what makes it so incredible, because you get people who are in that kind of thought process, so you get all these minds together that are that open, and we have a ball. We laugh
Yeah,
at the
just
game.
blasting, huh?
Oh my God, we laugh at the game, and everybody gets to really just sort of express the, you know, how they feel about everything, and it is just funny. But we get into some really profound things, you know, and that's, again, what we're going to be doing at this retreat. But we are going to visit some of the, I guess, more high-frequency points on the land there. Mount Shasta is known for that, so we do have a guide for that. I kind of felt like we could do that this time, but we do all of that from a different perspective as well. We don't just do it going, oh, we just feel the land. No, we're going there for more profound, just more profound reasons. And so, again, all that information is on the website. If you're open, we would love to have you, whoever it is, come and join us. We still have room. And there is one that is on the site that I planned for 2016, January 2016. I haven't really marketed that, but it is on the site. And that is Joshua Tree. We're going to go to Joshua Tree in California as well. And that's a 3 or 4 day retreat. And I'm looking at coming to New York in, I think it's October. That's also on the site to do a 1 day workshop in New York.
Okay. Actually, I put that information on the radio show on your page.
Oh, okay.
So people can look at, you know.
Good.
I didn't have a chance to put all the books. I just put one of your books, Sonia. So if you wanted to let the audience know about your books also.
Yeah. Okay. There's The Holographic Canvas, The Fusing of Mind and Matter, which I see people's books years later, and it is just highlighted and got the ear, you know, the pages are bent. It is a great place to start in terms of my books, reading my stuff, because it really has a lot of information, covering a wide span of what, you know, how we can perceive reality or what are the possibilities, exploring the possibilities. And I use science, simplified science, to help to explain some of the concepts that I'm speaking of. And then A Journey of Possibilities, people also really love that. My older son says he loves the Holographic Canvas, but what he loves about this is because this one also gives you some practical, yet it is an intense book, but some practical things. And these were actually articles that I'd written over a period of time, and I sort of pulled them together in a book because, you know, people love them so much, and I expounded on some of them. And then I have Health and Inside Job and Outside Business. That book is actually goes with the film, The Business of Disease. It's a supplement to the film, and it's a chapter written by everybody in the film, including myself. And I published that book. That book is very
Where can
powerful.
We get actually access to the film? Do you have this on DVD or how does
no,
it work?
No, not yet, because it's still, this year it's actually going to be making its rounds with screenings and distribution. So probably more towards, the fall or so that it might be available on DVD and so on. But the website will keep you posted. In terms of screenings, we are getting ready to add some new screening locations where, you know, people are asking to screen it in different places, internationally and local. So if you go to thebusinessofdisease.com, you can see the trailer. You can also buy the book there, the book you can get, and also see, you know, keep checking for screenings and go on the mailing list, and then we'll update you according to where, you know, what area you're in. And I also just added, I just started a on-demand channel on Vimeo because some of these lectures and workshops that I've done, they're so long. I mean, you know, anywhere from, you know, as you'll see, 8.5 hours when you go on demand, like 8.5 hours. Of information, or 5-6 hours of information, and again, some of them were also well, these were, some of them were 6-month workshops, but those are audios, but these are the videos. So if somebody can't afford to buy the, you know, the whole set, they can get on there and they can just do, you know, on demand, watch it on demand. And that's on Vimeo. Just put my name in.
Okay. Well, also, you know, you can, you know, give your website, because I love your website. You have such a huge amount of articles which are very informative.
Right, right. And it's spiritinform.com, spiritinform.com. And then there's a lot of YouTube videos, too, that introduce people to, and there's no charge, obviously, for that, and it introduces, you know, the individual to some of what we're talking about. I mean, I talk about, like, a whole lot of different, you know, topics, and I just started to, maybe several months ago, it's almost a year, I started trying to upload a 20-minute or video or so once a week. Sometimes I miss a week, but people really love them. They call them the little chit-chat videos.
Yeah, they are great. And also, I actually watched one of your videos also from Free Your Mind conference from 2013.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah. You can dig around on the internet. That's true. Because some things I don't put up, but there are people that, you know, have put up all kinds of video excerpts on YouTube as well. So.
Yeah, that is actually a great conference, Free Your Mind. So, you know, and I watched other people's before too, and I find you in there too. And it's an excellent video. So if people want to go and find it also, it's on the Free Your Mind website.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. There's another one where I think the entire thing is up. And I had done Conspiracy Con, I don't know, a couple of years ago. And they put it up. Somebody put it up on YouTube. The whole thing is on there also. That's like 45 minutes, I think.
Yeah, it's a great, you know, information, you know, to find about if people are looking for more information. So, Sonia, for the finishing thought, what would you, you know, give our listeners, you know, as a finishing thought, you know, what to do, how to do, how to start? Or,
well, what I like to say to people is, don't get caught up in the fear that is being pushed right now. Don't get caught up in it where you become so externalized that you're more worried about, you know, what's gonna happen, you know, what's happening in the world. Think about that. Doesn't that sound like everything is outside of yourself? Like all your concerns are outside? So I say, take a step back from all of that and just say to yourself, you know, what do I want? Do I want to go deeper? Do I want a spiritual foundation that I can really feel solid on? And start, if you don't meditate, and I am also, the meditating thing too is kind of a real tricky, touchy one too, because sometimes, because meditation has become so, you know, commercialized to some degree, and sometimes people, you know, they just sit and they just relax and just feel good. But I'm speaking about a really deep connection where you sit and you really are there to find a way to feel your more expansive self, connect with that self, and say, you know what, I am ready to know. I am ready to understand. And I trust this more expansive part of me. Whatever you want to say, I trust the God within. I trust, however you want to put it, but surrender to that part of you, knowing that it always has your back and you're not going to be let down. And just being able to do that can really start moving things in your life. And you just begin to trust, you know, trust the process when, you know, if things start happening. Don't think that, oh, if I do this, oh my God, I might lose my job. No, you're not, don't second guess or pre-guess or have preconceived notions of something happening that you don't want to happen. No, just You trust because you ask for, you're ready to grow. And growth eventually, obviously, it has to mean that it's going to take you to a greater place, a higher, a greater place, or more evolved space. And so that's, to me, that's the biggest key that I can give to somebody, as opposed to telling you, you know, step one, step two, you know, stand on your head.
That is so great. Yeah. That's so great, Sonia. Well, thank you so much for final thought. And I'm so excited to having you here tonight. Thank you so much. And I appreciate it very much. So we are at the final hour and finishing. So we have to kind of close down and say good night to everybody. And again, Sonia, thank you so much. And
thanks to your audience as well. Thank you.
You are welcome. And good night, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Good night.
Good night.